Will you bow your heads with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we give you praise and thanks for the opportunity to be here together as a community that wants to be together to worship you and to praise you. God, I just lift up special prayers for this community at this time in this season, and a season of such transition as so many persons return to school. We've got kindergartners for the first time. We've got college students that go off for the first time. And we've got teachers and administration that return to their work. And so, God, I just pray that in the midst of all of that, that your grace and your power and your presence is so powerfully felt to start a great and new transition for a new school year. Pray also for just our world. So many events that go on all over the world, whether it's an environmental crisis or challenges with legal struggles, Lord, there's so much going on. So just pray that in the midst of all of that, that all of us can begin to make a difference as each of us one by one lives out our lives daily following you and modeling you, and so we can make a difference in those experiences. God, I pray as I share this message this day, and as those students who join me this day, that we may hear you. We may hear you at work in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning. My name is Patty Napier, and I'm senior pastor here, and Reverend Adrian will be back here next week. We are actually flipped, so she does not have the Sunday off. She's preaching in traditional, and I'll be here with you today, but you will hear that message that she's preaching over there this next Sunday. Both of us, all of us, are in this series that we've titled In the Light, and as we explore the letter of 1 John, and just a reminder, 1 John was written by John, but that's not John the Baptist. It's John, who was the son of a fisherman Zebedee, and his mom was Salome. He was the younger brother of James, who was also another one of the 12 disciples. John was the person that after the resurrection, he started and continued the Christian church in Jerusalem. And he probably was also the last of the disciples to die. This John wrote the Gospel of John, the letters 1, 2, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. So we hear from him throughout this letter that we're studying. Last week you heard from Adrian from chapter 1, and I would say if we wanted to pick up two key words from the first chapter of that letter, it's light and it's fellowship. And in that letter, in that chapter of that letter, I believe what is emphasized is that God is the light. And when we talk about fellowship, it's the fellowship that we can have with God so that we can experience that light. And so we experience that light not just to hold for ourselves, but to be in fellowship with all others. And so we can share that light all over the world. Also in that chapter, we're reminded a few of the challenges that we face in life, and that's sin and how we need to overcome those so that we can continue that connection. So today we will look at chapter 2, which I feel is a chapter that really John wants to express encouragement to all persons, no matter where they are in their Christian walk. And so I believe that's what much of this chapter is about. Again, a little bits of this chapter will remind us there's sin and there's an antichrist stuff going on. But how do we continue this Christian walk so we overcome that, so that that darkness doesn't swallow us? In this chapter, John talks a little bit about generations. So I ask you a question. How many of you, at some time in the year, and maybe it's like at wedding time, does your family get together and have a multi-generational picture or portrait that's done? Anybody do that? At any time, sometime in their lives. Oh, not many. You guys don't is that going out of style? Anyway, that's something that I believe John speaks to in a roundabout way. So I'm going to have you throw up there. There you go. So here's an intergenerational picture. My family always takes them around about Christmas. And so what we typically see in intergenerational pictures is this. Oftentimes, the grandparents or great-grandparents, those folks are oftentimes like kind of in the middle or centered or all surrounded by. So there's great-grandparents and grandparents in my family. Oh, I forgot Sam, grandparent. And so grandparents are persons and great-grandparents who have already raised their family. They're probably getting a little less strong and maybe a little less energy, and they're looking to their now adult kids to carry on the generation. So then you next in your family, you have adult kids. And so I look at, you know, when I find my adult kids in here and then their spouses, they're all wound through there. The adult kid kind of stage in life is when you have all the energy. And yes, even if you're with a little baby or even if you're raising teenagers, I'm telling you, you still are the folks with energy. And you're the ones who are so involved with providing the necessities of life for your kids, teaching your kids what you feel is important. And so that's that stage of life. And then the next stage of life is kids. And so if I look in here at kids, I see all these little grandkids in our family. And the little kids typically don't have many chores or much responsibility. They're really sitting on the fruits of labor of the parents and grandparents. And so what we can understand is that, and you can flip it because my family likes to have fun, so we have to put the fun one up. So you can see where families, the various generations, all have differing responsibilities according to the stage of life that they're in. And again, that's a piece of what John talks about in this letter, is that there are these stages. Now, I don't think that he's necessarily referring to a family of stages. I believe he uses this to challenge us to think about the various stages that all of us have in our Christian walk. And so I believe that's what he wants to talk to us about in this scripture that we'll share today. It's interesting if you open up your Bible to this chapter 2. These verses that I'm going to share with you actually look, and the spacing is done very much like poetry. And these verses really are a form of old Hebrew poetry that's called parallelism. So you'll see when you hear the words, you'll hear the parallels throughout this scripture. So I read to you from chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. These categories, when we talk about our faith development, he speaks to children. And in there, he refers to this maybe a new believer, an early believer, someone who is just maybe digging into the scriptures and just learning the basics of faith, or maybe has been a believer for a while, but maybe hasn't done much growing. So in scripture, we'll talk about they're still consuming spiritual milk. And God desires for us to move on to something stronger, that we consume spiritual food. And so that's when the young men refers to those persons who are mature believers, persons who have read and who have studied and who are practicing the Word of God and know the basics of faith, have applied them to their lives to resist evil, but also to grow. And it's mature believers that we look to in a church, to become the leaders of the church, to become the teachers within the church, to teach those younger believers. And then we look at the fathers, who are referring to the elders of the church. And those are persons who have been diligently throughout their lives and applying the test so that God's grace is a testimony within their lives. And yeah, maybe they're lessening in strength and maybe they're lessening in energy, but it doesn't mean they're any less value to the whole picture of the church, because they are the persons who have experience and they have wisdom and they have counsel that all of us need to be connected together. And so I believe what John is doing here is painting this picture of the different stages and the various ways that we get through those stages. When I read this scripture, was reading it several weeks ago, and as I meet with Matt regularly, who is our director of youth, I was so, and have been all summer, so impressed and so inspired by an experience that he and Kevin have both offered this summer to about a handful of our youth. A handful of our youth because it was a huge commitment on their part. And so as I heard week by week what they were doing and what they were learning, I was inspired, and I thought to myself, you know what, we need to be inspired, and we need to be encouraged by what they have experienced. So for the rest of my message today, I'm actually going to invite, there were five of the six are with us today, so I'm going to move down, and they're going to move up. And they're going to take the chairs, and for the rest of the day, the message today, I want us to hear from them. I want to hear from them how they have made major steps and major moves within their own faith experience that I hope encourages all of us to think about, maybe I haven't grown, or have I? Maybe I am a bit too comfortable in my faith. And maybe I need to step out and be a little bit uncomfortable, as these folks have. You know something I didn't tell you I was going to do? Can we, will you guys first go down the line and introduce, say your name, and maybe what school you're going to and what year you'll be this year, okay? So I can get to know you a little bit. And I'm going to move down here.
Hi, I'm Emily Sandy.
Let me see if I need to turn that on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Emily Sandy. I will be going to Carmel High School, and I'll be in ninth grade.
Hello, I'm Ellie Austin, and I'm going to be a junior at Carmel High School.
Hi, I'm Sarah Worf, and I'm also going to be in ninth grade at Carmel High School.
I'm Hannah Leonard, and I'm also going to be a junior at Carmel High School.
Hi, I'm Patrick Coker, and I'm going to be a senior in high school.
Well, thank you for introducing yourselves. And so I'm wondering if one of you will share with us and explain the experience that you were involved in this summer was called the Narrow Way Experience. So can anyone share with what is that name and why did you call it that?
Well, it's in the name. It's narrow. It's a really hard experience. Like, it challenges us. Like, it puts us in out of our comfort zone, and just we try to take like the scriptures from the Bible and try to apply it to our lives, or like acting to do it in real life instead of just reading it. And it's just challenging. It's a narrow way.
So, Patrick, you mentioned scriptures, and so you guys, I understand, read many scriptures this summer, and oftentimes you would study scriptures as you would look back at the experience you'd had the week before or in preparation for the upcoming week. So what was an experiential moment that you had that maybe brought new light to that scripture?
Every week we have a new experience, and so one experience that I liked that I like to relate to the scripture was we went blueberry picking, and we were talking about how God prunes our vines, and he's like the vineyard keeper, and he prunes all the bad things from our life and the hate and the sin so that we can be more pure and our vine can be more fruitful.
So as you spent your time this summer, what are some of the ways that this experience took you out of your comfort zone? Maybe you were doing something very differently or thinking even differently than you ever have.
Well, for me personally, I like to keep to myself. So this, for example, is really pushing me out of my comfort zone. But in all, the experience has pushed me to talk to a lot of people that I probably wouldn't have if I didn't do it. Like, I don't know if any of you saw this last week, standing out in the gathering space with homeless signs. That took a lot to just kind of be able to do it. I don't even, it's in every way, it's just, I don't know, yeah.
I appreciate hearing that those things make you uncomfortable, because honestly, I think some of us who are older than you, I think when we see, you know, younger folks doing those kinds of things, we think it's fun and they're really into it. And I'm not so sure we always realize, you know what? I'm uncomfortable with this too. So I appreciate that. Someone talked to me about the experience you had with sailing. And I'm not going to say much more what scripture it connected with. You guys can do that. But then how does that experience of sailing, how does that stick with you and come to your mind again?
So we went sailing, and it was so fun. We spent the day out on the water, and it was really fun to kind of connect with people as well because we had to half and half go on the boat, and people would have to stay back. So that was really fun. But the scripture that we read, it basically said the spirit is like the wind, and you can't really see the wind, but you can see its actions, and you can feel the wind. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of related that back to sailing because, you know, we would have just been a hunk of metal on the water without the wind. Mm-hmm. So it really, the spirit led us, and that was really cool. And, you know, ever since we did that, every time I feel the wind, it's just like, it's a reminder of the spirit. So, yeah.
Patrick wants to add to that. Yeah, you guys remember, did you talk about the word that means wind in the scripture? Did you, ruah? Is that something? Did you talk about ruah?
Yeah, to add into that, it's just, like, after the sailing, it made me, like, look at things differently, and just being in the boat with no motor, like, our motor was not running, and we were just cool, and just letting the wind do it work, and, like, it's just, I was thought to myself, this is how we should let God take control of our lives, and,
I like that, because how often do we work? And we try to make things happen, and don't we use our own energy and our own force, whereas we oftentimes paused and allow the Holy Spirit to carry us. The difference. Just a quick question about that. Where did you sail?
Eagle Creek Park.
Ah, very good.
Eagle Creek Park.
Very great. whose boat did you go on? Who sailed?
Greg. It was a pastor at CUMC.
Yeah, Reverend Greg McGarvey. Great experience, and yeah, great thing to be reminded that wind is with you. Okay, you've just briefly referred to what happened, was it just last Sunday when you did that homeless experience? Okay, so last Sunday. And so you may have seen them in the gathering place. They were told nothing. They were told to arrive at church in the morning. Their parents knew about this. Arrive at the church in the morning with the clothes on your back. Did you bring any extra clothes? Were you allowed to bring one extra clothing? Yeah, one extra clothing and some toiletries, right? So I'm assuming you didn't lug big blow dryers or curling irons or anything around. Just probably some little travel kinds of things. So you arrive just that way, and when you arrive here, you are informed that you're now homeless. And the reason for this experience is because we know in Scripture that we're called to care for the homeless. And we also know in Scripture that Jesus, as he traveled throughout his ministry, he traveled very lightly. He didn't carry big pieces of luggage and necessarily ever know where he was going to stay. So you arrived at church, not with much. You're instructed that you are now homeless and that it's up to you to find a place to stay for the night. It's up to you to find a church member that would take you in. You may know that church member. You may not do. You may have known that member. You may not. You were uncertain about what you were doing, what kind of place you would be staying. So what was that experience like as you waited in the gathering place, that hoping that someone would take you in? And then also, and I know many of you went to different places, so I know you have a little bit different experiences to share. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Okay. So with my experience, the family that took us in, they were so generous, and they talked to us, they opened their home up to us, and it really taught me that, like, I need to be more generous, and, like, it's just, they're so giving. It was a really good experience to teach me to be more giving, and when we began the experience, I was really nervous because I didn't know where I was going to end up that night, so...
Or who you were with. Did you know the folks?
Yes, I did know them.
You happen to know them? Okay.
Yeah. But, it was really nerve-wracking to be out there in the gathering space, like, holding a sign and just, like, hoping someone would approach you. And I really noticed that, like, a lot of people that I would normally talk to during, like, that fellowship time didn't, like, come up and talk to me because they didn't want to, like, get into that conversation. Because it was kind of intimidating, and it was, like, nerve-wracking for everyone, not just the people holding the signs, the people seeing us. So, yeah.
For me, right when I got in and we got the news, we were all a little bit confused and shocked because we just didn't really know what was going to happen. Like, we understood that we were going to go to, like, a kind of a random church family's house, but we didn't really, like, know what the day would hold. We didn't know what we would be doing all day. And so I was with Monica, which is the sixth member that is not with us. So we went to the Adams family, who I knew the kids, but I didn't really know the entire family well. And so it really kind of took me out of my comfort zone just to be able to, like, interact with them. And the kids were super confused because they had another babysitter, but their parents were home. So they didn't really know what was going on. But my favorite experience of that night was probably dinner, because that's when they asked us all the questions, like, what the heck are you doing at my house? And so we kind of just got to tell the whole experience, kind of like what we're doing right now, and answer their questions about NWX overall. And for me, that kind of opened up, like, what NWX really has done for me and kind of opened up my eyes this summer. But so basically that was my favorite part of NWX, even though it was just last week of the entire summer. But that was really cool.
Okay. My experience was, it was this new family, and we got dropped off their house, and just seeing them being willing to just take us in for a night, it was kind of, I was just like, I don't know what this is going to end up being like. we're new to those people, but, like, they really opened their door to us, and, like, it just, yeah, it was just kind for me to stay at somebody else's house that I've never known, never talked to, probably see them before, but it was, I would get to meet their kids. Their kids are, oh my God. Yeah. The dad had to let one of the kids go run to the stop sign back and forth just to minimize the energy. But yeah. But yeah, it was fun hanging out with them, and yeah, they got to ask us some serious questions, and we had to answer them, and, like, how is this experience? Or, like, they thought we were going to ask them many questions, but we just shared some verses with them and just tell them what we do. And we share with them, like, why we're doing this is because, like, Jesus used to send his disciples empty-handed, like, to towns, and yeah.
I'm going to have you send the mic all the way down to the end. As we talk about empty-handed and not knowing, what was, I mean, when you say you didn't know, did you think about, gosh, I don't even know what I'm, am I going to have anything to eat? Or was it kind of weird to think, well, where was I going to sleep?
Well, it was so weird because, we didn't know where we were going to end up, and it was really kind of scary because we just came out of service, and we ran, and we got our signs, and we came, and we were like, okay, take us in, please. It was very scary, and at one point, I didn't know where I was going to go because Patrick was working, and we didn't know if he was going to, like, make it in time, and then it was very chaotic, and, like, where am I going? So, it was kind of scary, but it's not nearly close because I knew that I was going to be able to go home afterwards, but for homeless people, they don't know where they're going to end up really for their life. They really don't know. So
probably maybe good. On a smaller, a different scale. Do you feel like you can kind of understand maybe what true homeless persons experience when they're living on the street, when they don't know where their next meal may come from or where they're going to sleep at night?
Yeah.
And help you relate to that.
It was very surreal because we didn't know whether we would be, because our leaders, they were like, well, it's your fault if you don't end up somewhere, because we kept asking for questions, or we kept asking questions.
I think the plan was, and correct me if that's not right, Kevin, but if you guys didn't end up with homes, you guys were actually going to sleep outside, right? You were going to stay outside. You were going to be truly homeless.
And to be fair, Matt and I also slept at a stranger's home.
Yes. Yeah, they've shared the experience all along the way. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about fasting. Every single week, you guys fasted. And I know sometimes we typically think of fasting as from food, But there are very many different things that we can fast from. I know I was always impressed. Matt talked about one time when he fasted from, it was during Lent for 40 days. And he's right-handed. He fasted from using his right hand for 40 days. Now think about that. All the things you do, your computer, he did. Talk about fasting. How'd you experience that?
So I think fasting for us was like one of the biggest challenges because it's every day and we're not with each other to hold each other accountable at every second. But it's been nice to have like such a good group to work with because they will text each other and be like, are you dying? I'm dying. Are you still here? But this week, I think this week was one of the most challenging for all of us. We even get texts from Matt saying how he's struggling with it too. But this week we gave up pretty much like videos and TV and stuff. And so for me, that kind of changed my like nightly routine. So I had more of a chance to like read the Bible and like text a few of them to just discuss and everything instead of like my normal routine, going to bed and watching Netflix before, like every other teen. another fast that we did that I really liked was a few weeks ago, we did basically like no like put downs and like any like negative like energy and stuff like that. That was a fun one because we were all, that week we were all together. I think it was VBS week. And so we were all together. So basically whenever we would hear someone do a put down, we would yell at them and say 3 put-ups. And so I think that was
what
definitely...
What are 3 put-ups?
What?
What are 3 put-ups?
Basically, like, if you say, Patrick, what are you wearing?
Oh, yeah.
Then they'll be like, Hannah,
3 put-ups.
3 put-ups. And I'll be like, well, And then I would be like, you're amazing.
Thank you.
I just love your energy.
Thank you.
That's one. I love how involved you are.
Okay.
And your shirt, it just matches the CUMC colors. It's
Thank you.
Doing great. Those are 3. So basically, it would just be returning the energy. So I think that was my favorite fast that we did. But overall, the fast, like, each week just challenged us to, like, give up something that would kind of make us, like, stronger and, like, grow in our faith and be closer to God and have a closer relationship that week and just to challenge us overall.
Are you guys challenged or impressed yet? This is all summer. Will you throw up there on the screen the scripture? Scripture Matthew 7, 13 through 14 was the key scripture for this entire experience. And so enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. Okay, guys, what does that say to you about having an easy life versus a hard life? And what was hard like living this summer?
For me, it was really like challenging because like things that are easy to like bad decisions are like so easy. Like, it's so easy to do, and, like, it's so easy to fall into. And, like, when you actually push yourself, like, it has been, like, a challenge for me, like, learning from what, like, if it's hard, then it's probably a good thing. But, like, seeing that, like, some people would decide to do, what, like, watch TV while we stay up and try not to watch TV and, read the Bible or verses, and like it's just hard challenges and like trying to stay away from stuff that can push us to the wrong direction and actually try something hard that can try to push in our faith.
Pass it down. Ellie, was it worth it? Was it worth it?
I can't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ellie, I said, was it worth it?
Yes.
Because it sounds to me like the wide road is a little bit easier or more natural in many ways. And so I'm imagining that you guys must have made some sacrifices because you had to be available, you know, every week this summer. Was it every week? Every week this summer for a certain number of hours. And so, and the things that you learned were tough and challenging. So was it worth it? Would you encourage someone else to do the same?
I definitely would. It's
It's a huge challenge, but, and I'm not going to lie, at the beginning I was super hesitant, but like coming out when we're like, what do we have, like 2 meetings left, pretty much, it has definitely like helped shape my life in just like a short amount of time. Like, yeah, I've made very close friendships, and it's just been great. Yeah, I definitely.
So, Sarah, will you answer a final question? So you've learned a lot, experienced a lot, and let's say you walked just as Jesus walked. What are you going to do when you leave here, when this experience is over? Are you changed?
I think I definitely am changed. Doing NWX every week, it was like it brought me way closer to my church and really made it feel like a home. And like all of these people sitting up here are like my family now. And like that's part of it that will definitely continue. It's like never going to end. And so I love that. And like all the scriptures that we read, and especially this one, like I'm pretty sure we all have it memorized now. And like whenever I like come upon a situation where there's 2 different choices, like a harder one that like is more beneficial or an easier one that would just be like simple to do, it's like I always think of the verse and I like try to choose the option that I think would like honor God more. And so, yeah.
Thank you for your experience. I think you truly model for us when we talk about going from spiritual milk to spiritual food, that you guys have definitely made that transition and have shared that with us. I hope that all of us are challenged. Since we're studying the first letter of John, can you project that? Yeah, there you go. I want to close this with this. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as he walked. And I feel like that's also descriptive of your experience that you had. So thank you for sharing, and thank you for hanging in through this experience. Thanks to Kevin and Matt also for their leadership. Let's give them a hand. Thanks. Thank you. You can go ahead and be seated. I'm going to invite the band to come forward now. This has been, like I said, fun for me to see as a youth have an opportunity. Just want you to know in the fall as we kick off a series, the series will be on discipleship for all of us. So Chris Thornsberry, who is our minister for adult discipleship, has really been working diligently the last 6 months developing a very intentional plan for all of us to take a look at the ways that where we are in our faith journey, but also how do we take those next steps, kind of like next steps that these guys took. It may not be as extreme as this, but hopefully all of us will be willing through this process to step out of our comfort zone or what is easy and step out so that we can grow. Thank you.